Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
This is The Dave Glover Show with Dave, Rachel, and Kevin. Sponsored by Michael's Flooring Outlet, the flooring experts. IGotFloor.com. When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words
to say. All the things that come to you. Hey, Merry Christmas. It's Hancock
Happy
and Kelly sitting in
you.
For The Dave Glover Show.
Yeah.
We, of course, it's a holiday, so
we're working.
KMOX takeover, Hancock and Kelly. We do everything.
We're working.
Yeah.
Putting in the time, the effort, the quality control to make sure that we're bringing the very best radio product to each one of the 12 of you listening right now.
And yesterday we checked in with Amy Marksgorst,
the
newly engaged Amy Marksgorst.
That's right. She's off work.
Yeah, she's just out there in love, out in Wildwood, whistling and, you know, hanging out with the big guy. And so we thought, well, who should we call up today?
I thought we would call the most, he is the Wes Welker of the Dave Glover Show.
I mean,
the glue that holds the whole thing together. Uh-huh. Everybody talks about Tom Brady. Oh, great Tom Brady. No.
No.
It was Wes Welker getting open on third down time after time after time that made that Patriot dynasty. I contend it is Andrew Stoltz. Who makes the Dave Glover Show exactly what it is.
And what if you took Wes Welker and then added another Wes Welker to him? You'd get about me.
You really are. Wes Welker's word. Because you produce the show. You produce Dave Glover. And you've been doing it for how long?
13 years.
13 years he's been producing that show.
That's almost as long as we've been.
I know. It's a long time. And the invaluable contributions you make to the show while it's airing, just your little... popping in with a pithy comment here, a funny story there, a DoorDash, crisis. Yeah. I mean, it's you add a lot to that program. So we are delighted to have and share the microphone with Andrew Stoltz today. It kind of has a feel of the DGS with Andrew in here with us.
Well, it's always a joy to share a mic with you guys, of course.
Is it a little more relaxing because Glover's not here peering at you he normally does?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, he's... You got to be careful with Dave, and you guys know this. You got to be careful with Dave because he never stops thinking. He never like checks out to let somebody else talk or whatever. He's always thinking. So you got to know if I say something stupid here, he is going to be all over me. And this microphone is so. All of these microphones are so broken.
It just needs a little Viagra. They won't stay up. These microphones.
I watch the guests come in because I'm normally either in the other room or where Matt's sitting right now, and. I watch them have trouble, and I, you know, part of me does think, like, it's not that hard, people. But then I'm sitting in this
and
one.
And then just, boom, there it goes. There it goes. What are you drinking over there?
What are you drinking?
This is the Panera lemonade that kills you if you drink it.
What? Well, that was a joke. You don't believe it kills. But it's the one that's got, what, Red Bull in it?
It's the Panera Charged Lemonade. Ooh. And there are actually two people that have died as a result of drinking this. But they had pre-existing conditions.
Yeah. What, were they a little overweight?
So the one of them had, I think they both had heart conditions.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, how much caffeine is in that?
390 milligrams.
What's that mean?
That means it's, I think, a little over four Red Bulls.
Four
Red Bulls? I believe there is a little over four.
Can you convert that to coffee for me?
Yes, I think it is.
That's got to be like a couple pots.
I think it's like eight cups.
Eight cups of coffee?
Think so. I think that's about right.
That's like going from
Matt might be able to get the complete. What do you got for us, Matt?
Well, I can tell you that there's 95 milligrams in a normal cup of coffee.
So, and you got how many in there?
380.
So 95.
So it's like five or six.
Over four.
Wow.
Carry the one. It was like five cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And does it taste good?
Oh, it tastes great.
So what's the problem? Are you tired? You're off for the week and you're like, oh, I need to get up? Or purpose of it?
It wakes you up, right? So I drink a lot of caffeine. I drink a lot of soda. I love my soda.
That's my problem.
I drink the occasional, energy drink here and there. I try not to, but I'll indulge from time to time. But this makes you feel good.
It does.
Really?
Makes you feel real
See,
good.
I'm over here falling asleep. Maybe I need to get me some of that stuff.
No, that is not good for your heart.
I could not recommend this any higher.
Is that
I,
right?
Yes. I have
What's
the,
it called again? It's a Panera.
It's Charged Lemonade.
Charged Lemonade.
It. And I felt very stupid. I haven't left my house in like 6 days, so I'm no longer socialized for society. I drove through the drive-thru of the Panera in Alton, and I ordered one of these. And the guy said, you do know that has a lot of caffeine in it, right? And I said, hell yeah, brother, that's the plan.
Really?
And he didn't say anything in return.
And he's probably like, another one of the weirdos.
So what is the week off experience over there in Alton for the Stoltz family?
Oh, boy. It is a whole lot of, playing my video games.
Did
I got
you
a
get
new
a
chair.
New game?
I got a new chair for my parents for Christmas.
Nice.
My old chair was ruined and
is it
broken.
Like a Barca Lounger kind of a.
It's like a, it's just a nice recliner.
Yeah.
With nice big arms.
Big arms, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And so I had an old Chase Lounge. We got rid of that and
who
moved
needs
in
a
the
Chase
new one.
Lounge? Yeah.
And boy.
What'd you play?
I'm just in heaven. I have been playing a lot of a game called Assassin's Creed, where you assassinate people.
Okay. That's that guy that Sylvester Stallone fought in one of those movies, wasn't it?
I believe it is, yes. Yeah.
Was it a game you got
Assassin's
for Christmas,
Creed.
Or is it a game that
nah, it's
you,
just
you've
one,
had?
It's just one
Did
I've
Did you get
had
anything,
for a while.
Any games for Christmas?
No, just the chair. Are the only thing I needed.
Are you an Xbox or a PlayStation guy?
I got them all. I got everything.
He's got them all.
Oh, you have both the Xbox and the PlayStation 5?
Yeah, and I have the Nintendo, and I have
He's got the Nintendo. And the what you want?
Okay, so
just a computer.
Computer. Why? Why would you have them all?
So I can play whatever I want.
Yeah.
I like to play a lot of different stuff. I play a ton of different games. I
thought you could play the same games on different platforms.
No. Some of them are exclusive to one or the other. They have exclusivity deals. That's how they get you to buy a specific system, right? They get you to buy an Xbox because you want to play the Halo games.
Hey, you want to play your Mario Kart thing out there.
You want to play your Mario Kart.
In
so you
your opinion.
Uh-huh.
Which is the best system?
Boy, that's a good question. Mm. I would say right now, the most new person friendly, especially, which I think is very important, it would be the Xbox. I would suggest the Xbox.
What about the graphic quality?
It's the same on both. Yeah, they're the same. Okay.
So I have a PlayStation 5. And I got it a couple, right when they first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to play golf.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
And for like a month, I played golf. And now I haven't played anything. And I was thinking over the holiday, maybe I ought to get a new game. I wouldn't know. I don't play, would you call it Assassin's Creed? I don't play that.
So what kind of games do you like?
Sports. I like golf or, you know.
Well, you were doing
car
F1 racing for
I
a
was
while.
Car racing for a while.
Do you like baseball?
I like baseball.
Kevin Wheeler is completely obsessed with this game called The Show.
The Show?
It's a Major League Baseball.
Really?
Simulator,
is it
I guess.
Pretty realistic, I guess.
Yeah,
huh?
Oh, yes, very much.
So what is your...
He plays the World Series every single day, he says. Because you can skip
simulate
through
the season.
And simulate the season, and then you can jump in and actually physically play the like playoffs and World Series.
Nice.
Is the gaming industry going to change completely when... Because Meta's already got their VR out.
Mm-hmm.
Apple's apparently coming out here this year with their own VR. So those of us who grew up maybe with Intellivision or Atari, now Nintendo, are those days over with and it's going to be glasses and blah, blah, blah?
I don't think so. I don't think so because I think there's going to be too many people who just want to sit on a couch and play video games versus like having, because I have a VR headset
and
you gotta put it on and you gotta stand up and you
I
gotta
love
do,
it.
And it's,
Ugh.
Well, I do too. It's a lot of fun, but my stomach cannot handle it.
Yeah, no.
I got video
that thing
of
almost
Hancock
killed
playing
me.
It.
That thing almost killed me. I go over to Kelly's office and I say, put this on.
I've seen the video. It's great.
He golfs, yeah.
You're golfing, but you don't have a club in your hand. And
mm-hmm.
But you look on the thing and you got a club in your hand, but there's no club in your hand. And
it was pretty cool.
And then you got to swing.
Well,
as
I understand it, some people are just like this, like me, where my brain... So I put on the headset and I go walking around in the video game, but my brain can't reconcile that I'm
at
looking
home.
Around and walking, but what I'm actually doing is standing perfectly still,
right?
Or I'm sitting on my couch or whatever. My brain can't process that, I guess. So I get really badly nauseous.
Yeah,
and it messes me up for like the whole.
We're almost done with the video game segment for those of you people out there who don't like it. But tell me, Grand Theft Auto. Are you excited about the new one that's coming out?
This is going to be great.
I saw the...
Fantastic.
Well, let's say you got to steal a car.
Apparently, yeah. But I saw they came out of the preview. And where does it take place? In like L.A. or something?
Miami, I believe. Or
Miami. And Miami. So somebody had their grandma in the room. And they were like, Grandma, check out what's going on the news. And they showed her the preview of Grand Theft Auto, which I guess was going through her neighborhood. And she was freaking out. She's like, oh, my God. Look at the cars flying.
There was a car flying at somebody that hit them in midair and sent them flying across the street. And she's like, oh, my God. You're like, Grandma, can you believe this is really happening right outside?
Do you think video games are making us dumber?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. I think they made me dumber, for sure.
When did you start playing?
When I was maybe like 7, 8 years old, and I was a
daughter. I don't think you're dumb. I think you're quite bright.
Well, I think that they have... I don't think, and I think this is something that happens to a lot of people, but I don't think I'm as smart as I used to be. I think I used to be more like book smart. I used to be a very good speller. I can't spell anything anymore. Yeah, I kind of attribute that to video games because I just don't. They're kind of like the main hobby that I have.
Well,
so
and we don't
have
write
a whole lot
anymore.
That I, can,
I mean, I, we're yeah, all voice dictating everything, and nobody's writing. They don't even teach cursive in schools anymore.
I can't believe that I have somebody that's close to me in my family who had to go in and ask their mother
to read a card to.
Can you read this card to me because somebody wrote it in cursive?
Wow.
Yeah.
As a grown individual. I mean, old enough to vote.
Like young adult or?
Yeah, young adult, like 17, 18 years old.
And ruination of America right there.
We have a producer that's telling us we have to take a break.
No, we don't.
Do you mind if we were to step aside and come back and have another conversation just for a couple more minutes with you?
Absolutely.
Well, what am I going to think you asked for?
I'm in.
Are we
going to talk about what's on the...
No.
Oh, we're not?
I want to ask him about when he first gets connected with Dave Glover.
Oh, all right. We can do that.
Yeah, we'll talk about
talk about the thing we got written down on the thing that we...
And then we'll talk about the thing that we got written down on the thing that our producer put together.
We took time to write the thing down on the thing, and I think it's a good thing we got here.
Producer Andrew, hanging in with Hancock and Kelly right here on the DGS.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Producer Andrew in with Hancock and Kelly, who are in for the Dave Glover Show. So you're on holiday right now.
I do. I keep whacking my knee on this.
That's because you're all jacked up on this murder lemonade.
You're sitting behind the glass. See, you're in the actual studio.
I have no idea how any of this works. I keep running into it.
You're starting to understand the place that we're putting our guests in. You can help us lobby the administration around here to... reform some stuff.
Well, we just need some bolts.
If I had any say, things would be very different around here. I have no say whatsoever.
Your say started about 13 years ago. How'd you get connected with Glover?
I did an internship, actually. A friend of mine who had been an intern for Dave previously said that I should try it from college. And so I dropped out of college to take the internship
Dropped out of college?
I did, in the hopes that they would hire me because I hated going to college and I liked doing this.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe if I do a good enough job, they'll hire me.
Yeah.
And they did.
And they did. Now, I wouldn't suggest that career path for anybody. I would say to stay in school because I think most people don't get hired straight out of internships. It's especially nowadays, it's harder than it was when I was coming up.
Yeah, back in the day.
I mean, we really don't even have interns anymore.
No, we're not allowed to have interns, are we?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I thought it was a corporate policy we couldn't have any interns around here.
I miss having interns. They were all so weird.
Buddy, when I was an intern, it was like joining a fraternity. I mean, you got the worst jobs. Take the trash out. Hey, go get lunch. My car needs to get gas. That's the kind of stuff they had us do.
My first intern at the Missouri Republican Party is a top flight lawyer in town now.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Huh. That's interesting.
I know it.
We had an intern who started with us, and about 2 days after he started, and he seemed like he was kind of an aggro guy to begin with, kind of, you know, touchy, we'll say. And about 2 days after he started, the HR rep, this is like 10 years ago, HR rep said, can you come back to my office real quick? I need to tell you about something. So I go back into her office, and she says, so your new intern that started a few days ago, is he doing okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah, he seems fine. And she said, well, I just found out that he did a little stint in prison for beating a guy almost to death in a bar.
Ooh.
I got in a bar fight a couple of years ago. We beat him almost to death, and he did a little stint in prison that he didn't really disclose to us. Now, we don't have any specific rules about that, but If you're uncomfortable with that, we can ask him to leave, because he didn't disclose this to us when he was asking us. And I was like,
let it ride.
Yeah, I was like, it's probably fine. He doesn't seem to have any. And she was like, we'll talk to him, see what he says, see what he thinks about the situation. You know, maybe if he shows some contrition, maybe we can let him stay. And so I went back and I was like, hey, did you get in like a fight and like almost kill this guy? And he goes, Yeah, that did happen. And I go, oh, what happened? And he goes, he shouldn't have been talking crap is what he should have been.
Well, there you go.
And so I went back and I told the HR director, well, he's very contrite. He feels just dreadful about what happened.
Well, it's like the old guy that was sitting in a job interview. And she said, the resume looks great. He said, is there anything you've left out of the resume? He said, well, I went to Yale. She said, why wouldn't you put that? That's incredible. You went to Yale. And he said, yes. She said, I think this is going to work. I think we're going to hire you. He said, thank you. I need this job so much.
go ahead.
So, Andrew, there was a time when Dave made the transition over to KMOX. So mm-hmm. You're in year 13. What would that have been, like 9, 10?
That would have been year 11.
Yeah, it's just been a couple of years.
Yeah, because right. it was 2021. It was like March of 2021. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there was like 3 or 4 weeks where you weren't a part of the show, right? You stayed over at the old place?
About three months.
Wow.
It was like March to July.
Was it murder? Did you just hate every second of it? Did you come over and like, what are we doing? Why are we busting up the Beatles here?
I had a very good time working with our mutual friend Mark Reardon.
Oh yeah, great guy.
Who is a good guy.
I'm not talking about the other personality. I'm talking about the fact that you're no longer with the person who broke you into the business.
It was weird. It made me very sad. You know, I've spent close to half my life working for Dave.
Yeah.
And so I missed him very, very much. Tears were shed when I got the news. I'm not going to lie. It was weird. Yeah. The three of us, me and Rachel and Dave, and Trish. Well, it was Tony actually at the time. Trish wasn't with us.
That's
yet.
Right.
It was very sad.
And you guys had all sad, had a pretty long tenure together too, right?
Oh, yeah. At that point. I mean, we had all been there. Rachel was the most recent, and even she was like 6 years.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
But I persevered and I kept my head up high.
You did.
And I had fun working with our friend Mark and all of his quirks and eccentricities.
Yeah, but that's just got to be tough. I mean, we get into the political business and, you know, here you are working your whole life for somebody and all of a sudden they want you to stay here and the rest of the team's going over there. I'm glad it worked out.
I am too. Thank you very much.
Well, you're a very valuable part of that program.
And is that a thing in the like political world where you will, because I know you guys have both worked on campaigns for people and stuff like that. Like, do you have people who like work with like a candidate, for example, for many, many years and then something pulls them apart and they're not able to work with them anymore?
But you've got, you know, every campaign's like a little miniature business. It starts from scratch.
Okay.
And then depending on the level of office, it builds into quite a, you know, good-sized small business, multi-million-dollar business.
Then you bankrupt it.
Right. And then you drain it
for every cent.
The only thing I can equate it to...
disappear to Mexico.
I've done some shows in my life, you know, like little community theater productions, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you practice for the show, and you rehearse, and you rehearse, and da-da-da, and then it's showtime, and you're on the stage, and then it's over.
And there's a depression that
comes
with it.
There is a letdown, yeah.
But that's what, I mean, whether we all like it or not, we all have coworkers, no matter if you're, you know, building a house or if you're, you know, sitting in an accounting office. Yeah, there's just something about what you do with your coworkers. You go through a little bit of war together.
Yeah, you do.
And you create an affinity for each other. And to have that not be there for a couple of days had to be tough.
Yeah, it was a tough, especially since, you know, there was no guarantee. I wasn't told like, you know, well, in 3 months or so, we'll be able to kind of bring you back. And Dave Klein can go back with Mark you can come back with Dave. There was none of that. Steve basically said, This is how it is.
Yeah,
this is how it is, and you know it's too bad that it has to be like that. And it wasn't until right before the switch happened, where I came back here, that I knew that it was even a possibility. And I guess it had been the whole time, and they just weren't sure if they were going to be able to make, because you know Mark needed somebody to show him how things were done at KMOX.
Right, exactly.
Dave needed somebody who knew KMOX who could show him, because I certainly I still don't.
Well, listen, we got Dave Murray coming up in a minute. He's going to give us the forecast. We got to get a check on the news. But before we let you go, there's two questions we're all dying to know.
Yes.
Number one is, does Glover really buy you guys lunch every day?
Most days.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a nice perk.
He's extremely generous. One of the most generous guys I think I've ever met.
Tell us something about Glover that everybody doesn't know.
He's pretty much an open book.
Yeah.
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 The bald thing is just an act. He has hair. it's a cap.
Oh, he used to be real self-conscious about it, too, didn't he?
He's got hair down to his shoulder.
Yeah. And that family of his in San Francisco, we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, that's Andrew Stoltz, ladies and gentlemen, the producer of the Dave Glover Show. Very kind to spend a few minutes with us today in studio. It's always great to pick his brain.
Easy on that lemonade, boy.
Always have to wonder what's coming out of that sucker. And it's usually pretty good stuff. So we appreciate that. When we come back, Dave Murray, who elucidated for us yesterday the concept of, what was it called, PJ?
Hamster-sized snow.
Yeah,
latent heat.
He may bring some more of that kind of knowledge to bear on this very station, KMOX.
Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow. It's snowing out there, just as he said it would, Michael. And he is none other than Dave Murray, the meteorologist here at KMOX, the chief meteorologist here at KMOX. Dave, you nailed it.
Well, so far, so good. Yeah, we said the critical temperature would be 36, and that's when we would see the kick over to snow at the surface. And that's what we're seeing right now. It's 36 degrees and sloppy, wet snow, and the big hamster-sized snowflakes are
all
out
right
there.
Knock it off. Hold on a second. Where did you come up with the word hamster? This is
my trademark.
Okay.
I've been doing this for decades, and it just popped out one night on television.
It wasn't planned.
It wasn't anything, but it was the best way to explain these big, sloppy, wet snowflakes that are like the size of your hand in some places. And it's stuck. It has just stuck. I posted on my Facebook page, I have this picture of hamsters falling from the sky in a snow situation. I posted that yesterday saying, hey, we're coming to town. And last time I looked, it was 130,000 hits on that thing.
Wow. So you hear it's nuts. It's raining cats and dogs. It's raining or snowing hamsters.
Snowing hamsters. That's right. So if you hear anybody in local weather, other than myself,
they
that says hamster-sized snowflakes, there's
you know
a royalty that
right
has to come.
How can you tell that it's going to be hamster-sized? Like, what do you see in the cloud that makes – I mean, I know that you can say, oh, it's going to rain or it's going to snow – What does the computer show you that shows you that it's going to be like big hamster size?
The computer doesn't show me anything. It's just all about temperature in the atmosphere at all layers of the atmosphere. And I always try to pick a temperature where we should see a kick over to snow, because it doesn't have to be 32 degrees to see
right
the atmosphere start to produce snow. And so when I thought that this particular system would be about 36 degrees, you know that those snowflakes are carrying a lot of moisture with it as far as what's coating the snowflake. So as they come down, they bump into each other and they stick. And they keep coming down and they keep getting more and more and more snowflakes merging with each other, very different from a dry snow. And that's what gets the big sloppy
flakes. When I'm in an airplane, Dave, and it's this time of year, and you know, maybe it's not snowing in St. Louis, but you go up through those clouds.
Mm-hmm.
How come you don't see any of the precipitation or these hamster-sized snow?
Well, you'll see rain. You know, it depending on the lights on the plane, you'll see it, and you'll certainly see snow because the lights on the wings will reflect that light.
Uh-huh.
But you see it. You just have to be. And I know you're up in first class,
So what's the rest of the day look like, and what the slide to the weekend? Walk us through that.
Let's go through yes, we've got another holiday weekend coming up. We've now got wet snow, and wet snow will be with us not only this evening, but all night long. A little light rain will mix in from time to time, and it's kind of windy. But we're going to hang around 35, 36 degrees for the next couple of hours. We'll go down to 32. At this point, I think by morning, by the time we wake up in the morning, there could be one maybe 2 inches of sloppy, wet snow on grassy surfaces, parked cars, trees, things like that. And some of the secondary roads, side streets could have a little bit of slush on it. Road temperatures will stay above the freezing point all night long.
Good. So no accumulation on the streets.
Maybe some slush. That would be about it. And tomorrow we get up to 39 degrees, a little bit of wet snow around in the morning, a little bit of light rain in the afternoon, still windy on Thursday. But the amount of moisture we're going to see Thursday is pretty light. Another little wave comes through Thursday night with periods of wet snow. Again, the trigger point about 35, 36 degrees. We'll get down to 32. And another half inch to an inch of sloppy wet snow, mainly on the grassy surfaces overnight Thursday night. Friday, still unsettled. Still some wet snow around, some light rain, but very limited, 39 degrees. Slow clearing Friday night, 28 for the low. Moisture's gone. Saturday, partly sunny and 45. Sunday, a kind of a dry, cold front coming through. So lots of clouds on Sunday and 40 degrees. New Year's Eve will start at about 40 for early evening plans. Midnight, about 32, and we'll go down to 25 degrees. And Monday, New Year's Day, sunny and 35 degrees. This is a snow we can handle. I know it's the first snow, and I know things get a little wacky out there from time to time. But also, if you're driving, know that temperatures are in that 32, 33, 34, 35 range. There's some treatment as far as the roads are concerned, but we've also had some light rain. That makes it kind of tough. So be aware there's going to be some slick spots, especially bridges, overpasses, entrance and exit ramps, stuff like that.
So just be careful.
Can
I ask a hypothetical question, Dave Murray?
Absolutely.
So hypothetically, you know, a guy may have, I don't know, ran his car into the side of his garage, leaving a dent in the passenger side. And hypothetically, his wife may have prohibited him from parking in the garage any longer.
I can see that.
And so hypothetically, you know, his car sits out on the driveway all night.
Okay.
And hypothetically, there's going to be, not hypothetically, there could be an inch or two of snow.
Yeah, you're going to have an inch, maybe 2 inches
parked
car.
And
yeah.
So when that guy gets to the car tomorrow morning, is it the kind of a snow where the windshield wipers and rolling down the windows solves the problem? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part, yes. But make sure you got your snow brush, because who has done that.
Yeah, that guy.
You
yeah.
don't want to be that guy who doesn't want to be brushing off the back window of
his car. Back window. The little,
you don't
little,
have wipers.
Little
sizzler. Yeah, unless you have an S.
Doesn't the little sizzler thing take care of that? The little button you press and the little sizzler?
Defrost, In time.
Yeah, you might do it on a top, too, because the way you stop.
That's right.
This hypothetical stop may happen.
I'm not talking about
the
me.
The roof may slide down onto the windshield, too, with
yes.
the little snow.
Yeah, Mr. Hypothetical.
Hey,
come on.
Speaking of, yesterday I'm walking in the grocery store. A little lady walks up to me and she says, I heard you today on the radio with Dave Murray. And my grandson is interested in weather.
All
and
right.
he's in second or third grade.
That's
he's
when it starts.
He's obsessed with the Weather Channel.
That is when it starts.
So, and that this lady heard you say this yesterday. And so she asked me a question. I said, I'll ask him tomorrow.
Okay.
What should a parent or a grandparent do to help encourage that? For a kid that
it's
that's
a struggle.
Finding interest?
It is a struggle because you have to understand that male or female, we're a little whacked out because we're really into weather. You as a parent, you have to understand that. My parents realized that, and they kind of nurtured it. You want to read everything you can get your hands on as far as the basics of meteorology and forecasting are concerned. And you do want to, you know, if your son or your daughter wants to go out and look at the clouds and the weather and stuff like that, go out there with them. Encourage it. You know, be very supportive of it.
Yeah, and are there websites? I guess people can go look at radars and
conclusions. Get the weather out there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But don't trust those. But you know, certainly get a certainly get a radar. You know, go to get a radar. You know, radar scope or something like that, because that's really good to have.
Perfect.
What does a radar scope cost?
You know what? I don't. It's not much.
Oh, really?
There is a cost. There is a cost for it, but it's not much.
What about
a Doppler? Yearly basis.
A Doppler's
a couple million dollars. So you got to think about that one.
So, wow. Yeah. What, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Why is the Doppler $2 million and I can go get a sweeper radar for $100?
Well, it's just the way, you know, if you're actually going to put the Doppler radar up in your backyard, that's what it's going to cost to do.
Oh.
All right. So a regular listener of the Dave Glover Show is a guy named on Twitter named Big Blonde Dan. And Dan sent a text message yesterday, or tweet yesterday, that I want to ask you about if this is true. He said, we were having our big conversation about how to properly ice down a bucket of beer, correct?
Talk about this the latent heat.
The latent heat. Hancock was all wrong. He was telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. And then you, of course, had to come in as the third-party arbiter and
I'm
be like,
so
of course, Kelly knows
what
he's talking
about, Kelly, that it just startled me.
But this guy says, if you really want a trick, add water and a little salt to the ice.
Yes.
And he says it will make it even colder.
Yeah,
help me out with that. Now because that you're blows adding, your mind even more.
You're adding a little more to the process of the melting and the thawing.
Yeah, you got
and
the NaCl
heat release
going
and,
on out there.
Yeah. So yeah.
Huh. So the salt would then adds more to the process. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was a popular conversation yesterday. That's why I had to ask you. Plus,
remember,
I was right.
In the old days of making ice cream, you used to do it with salt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you got the chamber cold enough to make ice cream.
So my first little trick when I was trying to become a magician, Dave, when I was a little kid, and you're having a little family thing. So what I did is I learned it in a book. You took a glass of water, or maybe it was a bowl, and you floated an ice cube in it, and you took a piece of string, and you ran it from one side of the bowl to the other that touches the ice cube, and you dropped a little salt on top of the string and the ice cube together, and it would melt the string into the ice cube, and you'd be able to pick the string up.
There you go.
And the ice cube was attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I'm glad to hear that.
Huh?
Yeah, a little geeky magic guy. I was a geeky magic guy,
were you?
Too, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Did you ever make homemade volcanoes when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and what was it?
Absolutely.
Vinegar and baking soda, right?
Oh, that was an awesome science experiment.
I can't stand the smell of vinegar.
You don't like vinegar?
I can't stand the smell of vinegar.
I understand that. I'm kind of like you with that, too. Yeah. But the product of what you're doing is worth going through the smell of vinegar.
Yeah. You got to make your own little chemical reaction, and you'd have this big foaming thing, and your mother would be terribly upset.
My kids never did that in science class.
They didn't?
No. The coolest thing we ever did is I made a stringed instrument out of a bedpan for my son in the third grade.
A bedpan?
You can picture that in your mind.
Yeah. It sounded good conceptually is all I could.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow. It's snowing out there, just as he said it would, Michael. And he is none other than Dave Murray, the meteorologist here at KMOX, the chief meteorologist here at KMOX. Dave, you nailed it.
Well, so far, so good. Yeah, we said the critical temperature would be 36, and that's when we would see the kick over to snow at the surface, and that's what we're seeing right now. It's 36 degrees and sloppy, wet snow, and the big hamster-sized snowflakes are
all
out
right
there.
Knock it off. Hold on a second. Where did you come up with the word hamster? This is
my trademark.
Okay.
I've been doing this for decades, and it just popped out one night on television.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't planned, it wasn't anything, but it was the best way to explain these big sloppy wet snowflakes that are like the size of your hand in some places. And it's stuck. It has just stuck. I posted on my Facebook page, I have this picture of hamsters falling from the sky in a snow situation. I posted that yesterday saying, hey, we're coming to town. And last time I looked, it was 130,000 hits on that thing.
Wow. So you hear,
it's nuts.
It's raining cats and dogs. It's raining or snowing hamsters.
Snowing hamsters. That's right. So if you hear anybody in local weather other than myself,
they
that says
pay
hamster sized
they
snowflakes,
gotta pay you.
There's
you know.
A royalty that
right.
has to come.
How can you tell that it's going to be hamster sized? Like, what do you see in the cloud that makes? I mean, I know that you can say, oh, it's going to rain or it's going to snow. What does the computer show you that shows you that it's going to be like big hamster size?
The computer doesn't show me anything. It's just all about temperature in the atmosphere at all layers of the atmosphere. And I always try to pick a temperature where we should see a kick over to snow, because it doesn't have to be 32 degrees to see
right.
the atmosphere start to produce snow. And so when I thought that this particular system would be about 36 degrees, you know that those snowflakes are carrying a lot of moisture with it as far mm-hmm. as what's coating the snowflake. So as they come down, they bump into each other and they stick. And they keep coming down and they keep getting more and more and more snowflakes merging with each other, very different from a dry snow. And that's what gets the big sloppy flakes, the hamster flakes.
When I'm in an airplane, Dave, and it's this time of year, and you know, maybe it's not snowing in St. Louis, but you go up through those clouds.
Mm-hmm.
How come you don't see any of the precipitation or these hamster-sized snow?
Well, you'll see rain. You know, it depending on the lights on the plane, you'll see it, and you'll certainly see snow because the lights on the wings will reflect that light.
Uh-huh.
But you see it. You just have to be. And I know you're up in first class, and
So what's the rest of the day look like, and what the slide to the weekend? Walk us through that.
Let's go through yes, we've got another holiday weekend coming up. We've now got wet snow, and wet snow will be with us not only this evening, but all night long. A little light rain will mix in from time to time, and it's kind of windy. But we're going to hang around 35, 36 degrees for the next couple of hours. We'll go down to 32. At this point, I think by morning, by the time we wake up in the morning, there could be one, maybe 2 inches of sloppy, wet snow on grassy surfaces, parked cars, trees, things like that. And some of the secondary roads, side streets could have a little bit of slush on it. Road temperatures will stay above the freezing point all night long.
Good. So no accumulation on the streets.
Maybe some slush. That would be about it. And tomorrow we get up to 39 degrees, a little bit of wet snow around in the morning, a little bit of light rain in the afternoon, still windy on Thursday. But the amount of moisture we're going to see Thursday is pretty light. Another little wave comes through Thursday night with periods of wet snow. Again, the trigger point about 35, 36 degrees. We'll get down to 32. And another half inch to an inch of sloppy wet snow, mainly on the grassy surfaces overnight Thursday night. Friday, still unsettled. Still some wet snow around, some light rain, but very limited, 39 degrees. Slow clearing Friday night, 28 for the low. Moisture's gone. Saturday, partly sunny and 45. Sunday, a kind of a dry cold front coming through, so lots of clouds on Sunday and 40 degrees. New Year's Eve will start at about 40 for early evening plans. Midnight, about 32, and we'll go down to 25 degrees. And Monday, New Year's Day, sunny and 35 degrees.
That's amazing.
This is a snow we can handle. I know it's the first snow, and I know things get a little wacky out there from time to time. But also, if you're driving, know that temperatures are in that 32, 33, 34, 35 range. There's some treatment as far as the roads are concerned, but we've also had some light rain. That makes it kind of tough. So be aware there's going to be some slick spots, especially bridges, overpasses, entrance and exit ramps, stuff like that.
So just be careful.
Just be smart.
Can I ask a hypothetical question, Dave Murray?
Absolutely.
So hypothetically, you know, a guy may have, I don't know, ran his car into the side of his garage, leaving a dent in the passenger side. And hypothetically, his wife may have prohibited him from parking in the garage any longer.
I can see that.
And so hypothetically, you know, his car sits out on the driveway all night.
Okay.
And hypothetically, there's going to be, not hypothetically, there could be an inch or two of snow.
Yeah, you're going to have an inch, maybe 2 inches
on
that
guy,
parked car.
And
yeah.
So when that guy gets to the car tomorrow morning, is it the kind of a snow where the windshield wipers and rolling down the windows solves the problem?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for the most part, yes. But having, you know, make sure you got your snow brush, because don't that guy yeah. who has done that.
Yeah, that guy.
You yeah. don't want to be that guy no. who doesn't want to be brushing off the back window of
oh,
his
the
car.
Back window. The little,
you don't
little,
have wipers.
Little
yeah, unless you have an S.
Doesn't the little sizzler SUV. Thing take care of that? The little button you press and the little sizzler?
In time.
Yeah, you might do it on a top, too, because you the way you stop,
that's right.
this hypothetical stop
yeah,
that may happen.
I'm not talking about
the
me.
The roof may slide down onto the windshield, too, with
yes.
the little snow.
Yeah, Mr. Hypothetical.
Hey,
come on.
Speaking of, yesterday I'm walking in the grocery store. A little lady walks up to me and she says, I heard you today on the radio with Dave Murray. And my grandson is interested in weather.
All
and
right.
he's in second or third grade.
That's
he's obsessed
when it starts.
With the Weather
That's,
Channel.
That is when it starts.
So, and that this lady heard you say this yesterday. And so she asked me a question. I said, I'll ask him tomorrow.
Okay.
What should a parent or a grandparent do to help encourage that? What
well,
do you do
all,
for a kid that
it's
that
a struggle.
Interest?
It is a struggle because you have to understand that male or female, we're a little whacked out because we're really into weather. You as a parent, you have to understand that. My parents realized that, and they kind of nurtured it. You want to read everything you can get your hands on as far as the basics of meteorology and forecasting are concerned. And you do want to, you know, if your son or your daughter wants to go out and look at the clouds and the weather and stuff like that, go out there with them. Encourage it. You know, be very supportive of it.
Yeah, and are there websites? I guess people can go look at radars and kind of start
websites,
to try
Michael,
to make some
you,
of the own conclusions.
Where you get the weather out there.
Well, yeah, amazing. Absolutely. But don't trust those. But you know, certainly get a certainly get a radar. You know, go to the get a radar, you know, radar scope or something Ooh. Like that, because that's really good to have.
Perfect.
What does a radar scope cost?
You know what? I don't. It's not much.
Oh, really?
There is a cost. There is a cost for it, but it's not much.
What about
on
a Doppler?
Yearly basis.
Doppler's
a couple $1 million, so you got to think about that one.
So,
wow. Yeah. Wait a minute. Why is the Doppler $2 million and I can go get a sweeper radar for $100?
Well, it's just the way, you know, if you're actually going to put the Doppler radar up in your backyard,
yeah.
that's what it's going to cost to do.
Oh.
All right. So a regular listener of the Dave Glover Show is a guy named on Twitter named Big Blonde Dan. And Dan sent a text message yesterday, our tweet yesterday, that I want to ask you about if this is true. He said, we were having our big conversation about how to properly ice down a bucket of beer,
do we have
correct?
To talk about this
the latent heat.
The latent heat. And Hancock was all wrong. He was telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. And then you, of course, had to come in as the third party arbiter and
I'm
be like,
so
of course, Kelly
not
knows
what you're
talking
about, Kelly, that it just startled me.
But this guy says, if you really want a trick, add water and a little salt to the ice.
Yes.
And he says it will make it even colder.
Yeah.
Help
yeah,
me out with you're, that. Now,
because,
that,
well,
that
you're
blows
adding,
your mind even more.
You're adding a little more to the process
little,
of the melting and the thawing.
Yeah, you got
and
the
late
NaCl
heat release
going on out there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Huh. So the salt would then, yeah, adds more to the process. Okay. Yeah. Well, it was a popular conversation yesterday. That's why I had to ask you. Plus,
remember,
I was
you know,
right.
In the old days of making ice cream, you used to do it with salt.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you got the chamber cold enough to make ice cream.
So my first little trick exactly when I was right. trying to become a magician, Dave, you know, when I was a little kid, you know, and you're having a little family thing. So what I did is I learned it in a book. You took a glass of water, or maybe it was a bowl, and you floated an ice cube in it, and you took a piece of string, and you ran it from one side of the bowl to the other that touches the ice cube, and you dropped a little salt on top of the string and the ice cube together, and it would melt the string into the ice cube, and you'd be able to pick the string up.
There you go.
And the ice cube was attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
See,
I'm glad
little,
to hear.
That was
I'm
a
glad
little weather
to hear,
stuff there, huh?
Yeah, little geeky magic guy. I was a geeky magic guy.
Were you?
Too, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Did you ever make homemade volcanoes when you were a kid?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and what was it?
Absolutely.
Vinegar and baking soda, right?
Oh, that was an awesome science experiment.
I can't stand the smell of vinegar.
You don't like vinegar?
No, I can't stand the smell of vinegar.
I understand that. I'm kind of like you with that, too. Yeah. But the product of what you're doing is worth going through the smell of vinegar.
Yeah. Oh. You got to make your own little chemical reaction, and you'd have this big foaming thing, and your mother would be terribly
upset. My kids never
upset.
Did that in science class.
They didn't?
No. The coolest thing we ever did is I made a stringed instrument out of a bedpan for my son in the third grade.
A bedpan?
You can picture that in your mind.
Yeah. It sounded good conceptually is all I can tell you. Dave Murray, you've done it again. You've nailed the forecast yet again for the 1,213th time, and we are so grateful to have your expertise here on the Dave Glover Show.
My pleasure. Glad to be with you guys. We'll be with you tomorrow.
When we come back, Grandpa Kelly over here is going to tell us about hanging his laundry out. That's next on KMOX.
We go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Love this song.
Great tune.
Summer Highland Falls.
Yep, Billy Joel.
Hey, I got a secret for you.
Yeah?
You and the listeners of the DGS.
Yeah?
Friday. If you tune in to KMOX at 10 a.m.,
yeah,
from 10 to 1,
yeah,
Charlie Brennan is going to be back on the
air. Back in the saddle. Oh, that's must-tune-in radio right
now. Well, I know there's a lot of Charlie fans out there,
huge
and,
he,
you know, they're out there cleaning up roadways and
still to
buying
this day
donuts and
yes,
planting bulbs and doing all the things
exactly
that Charlie Brennan does in our community.
That's exactly what they're doing.
He will be back here on the world's greatest radio station
Friday at 10.
At the microphone that should be named after him.
It should be.
Charlie
the studio
Brennan.
That ought to be named for him.
Last night I washed my jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, jeans aren't something you wash regularly.
That's right.
Because if you wash them regularly, they shrink, they lose their color, they blah, 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 they get bigger. They
get holes in them.
Yeah, they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I'm starting the process of washing the jeans, so I wash it with my cold water. I let it go into the spin cycle. I like to put it into the dryer for about 45 seconds.
What?
Yeah, just a little bit of a flash heat on it, and then I snap it. You know, I like I take the pant at the very top,
yeah,
and I snap it, you know, like
snap
you'd snap
it
a towel, and that uh-huh takes out all the wrinkles.
It does?
And then I hang it up,
yeah,
and so that it will dry and that my pants will be straight and not have wrinkles,
mm-hmm,
and it'll look nice.
Oh, good for you.
But it got me to remembering the days when we used to go out in the backyard and take the clothespins, and we would put on the clothes hanger in the backyard.
Who does that?
Lots of people, but I don't ever see anybody doing it anymore.
Well, that's because we have a dryer.
Well, I'm with you. Now, listen, I live in a big building, and I like my dryer, and I, you know, my dryer probably gets more work than most as a single person. But it would be kind of nice if we had, you know, I could go out in my backyard and hang up my clothes from the clothespin. I can't.
You
never hung your clothes out to dry?
No.
Had you ever slept on sheets that had been washed and dried?
In a dryer.
Dried out on the clothesline.
Why would you do that?
Oh, my gosh. It's like there are people out there right now listening to KMOX at 314-436-7900 who will be able to tell you that there is nothing like sleeping on sheets.
Why?
Because it's got a different aroma. It's not that synthetic fake air or blue violets or whatever else they're putting in
there. You put the little sheet in there.
But this is just good old fresh air going through the sheets.
I'll put two or three of those sheets. If you want my secret, I'll put like three of those sheets in the dryer.
Oh, the dryer sheets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells like heaven.
But it's a fake smell.
It's not a fake smell.
But how would you know? You've never even slept on a set
of
sheets.
Heaven coming out of those sheets.
That have been air dried. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I live in the city and, you know, I walk around a lot, so I don't see many places that people are hanging their clothes anymore. But I'm curious as to whether or not people hang their clothes out to dry.
Are you still squeezing your oranges at home, too?
No, but have you ever squeezed oranges?
I've squeezed
oranges. It's delicious. You can't beat it.
You buy the lemonade.
It's
or the
not
orange,
processed.
Whatever you call orange juice. It's not processed.
Yeah.
Minute Maid in the can is not processed.
But it's nice. There's
pure
something
concentrated
about
stuff.
Fresh orange juice.
Who are we talking to?
Or there's something about
who's
sleeping
calling
on
somebody
sheets.
Somebody is calling in. Okay.
Yeah, Dennis.
Dennis. Hello, Dennis. Welcome to KMOX.
Thank you.
Hey. Start talking, Dennis,
hello,
because we don't have much time.
Yeah, hey, my wife hangs our sheets out starting in the spring when it's warm enough and hangs them all summer long until it's too cool. Every Sunday morning, our sheets are on the line.
The sheets are on the line on Sunday morning.
And Dennis,
morning.
Do you love it? Do you love the smell over the fake smell you get from your dryer?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just they're fresher, they're cleaner. They smell cleaner, let's put it that way.
Do you live out in rural Missouri, or you would live in a subdivision where people can see your clothes all hanging out?
Well, I'm in a city, but I'm rural Illinois. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So you got your sheets out there. What do you do when the birds fly into it or poop on them? I mean, you know,
you wash them again. You put them out.
Seems
yeah, but you're missing out. See, you're being critical of something you haven't experienced.
I've experienced it. Thank you very much, Dennis. Happy New Year and thanks for calling.
Imagine the same air that the birds are flying through. Mm-hmm. And all those great smells of summer
insects
that get blown
insects
around come. They get blown into your sheet, and then you go to
sleep
at nighttime.
You know how vile flies are? I mean, you know what flies spend their day walking around in? Yes. And you got flies crawling all over your sheets out there. No! You put them in the dryer, Mike. You put a couple of these sheets in there. These
dryer sheets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I mean, you know, who needs fresh air when you got dryer sheets? And the wind is blowing, and the air is coming through, and there's no bugs crawling around on your sheets. You got bugs out there.
How come we have to disagree on everything?
We don't disagree on
everything. You don't even understand the goodness of having wind blow through your sheets as opposed to some synthetic Procter & Gamble made smell.
I like the smell,
yeah,
if you want to know. I prefer that to what the outside smells like.
Hey, we got one more hour of this left. He's John Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. You know who you are. We're in for Dave Glover. We'll be back after the news right here.
Pollution everywhere.
On Camel X.
No pollution in the dryer.
We go where you go. 1120 AM, 98.7 FM, KMOX.com.
Summer Highland Falls.
Yep, Billy Joel.
Hey, I got a secret for you.
Yeah?
You and the listeners of the DGS.
Yeah?
Friday, if you tune in to KMOX at 10 a.m.
Yeah?
From 10 to 1.
Yeah?
Charlie Brennan is going to be back on the
airwaves. Back in the saddle. Oh, that's must tune in radio right now.
Well,
there.
I know there's a lot of Charlie fans out there.
Huge
and,
number.
You know, they're out there cleaning up roadways and
still to
buying
this day
donuts and
yes,
planting bulbs and doing all the things
exactly
that Charlie Brennan does in our community.
That's exactly what they're doing.
He will be back here on the world's greatest radio station
Friday at 10.
At the microphone that should be named after him.
It should be.
Charlie Brennan.
The studio that ought to be named for him.
Last night I washed my jeans.
Yeah.
And, you know, jeans aren't something you wash regularly.
That's right.
Because if you wash them regularly, they shrink, they lose their color, they blah, 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 they get bigger.
They get holes in them.
Yeah, they're not good.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. I'm starting the process of washing the jeans. So I wash it with my cold water. I let it go into the spin cycle. I like to put it into the dryer for about 45 seconds.
What?
Yeah, just a little bit of a flash heat on it, and then I snap it. You know, I like I take the pant at the very top,
yeah,
and I snap it, you know, like you snap a towel, and that uh-huh takes out all the wrinkles.
It does?
And then I hang it up,
yeah,
and so that it will dry and that my pants will be straight and not have wrinkles.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll look nice.
Oh, good for you.
But it got me to remembering the days when we used to go out in the backyard and take the clothespins, and we would put on the clothes hanger in the backyard.
Who does that?
Lots of people, but I don't ever see anybody doing it anymore.
Well, that's because we have a dryer.
Well, I'm with you. Now, listen, I live in a big building, and I like my dryer, and I, you know, my dryer probably gets more work than most as a single person. But it would be kind of nice if we had, you know, I could go out in my backyard and hang up my clothes from the clothespin. I can't.
You
never hung your clothes out to dry?
No.
Had you ever slept on sheets that had been washed and dried?
In a dryer.
Dried out on the clothesline.
Why would you do that?
Oh, my gosh. It's like there are people out there right now listening to KMOX at 314-436-7900 who will be able to tell you that there is nothing like sleeping on sheets.
Why?
Because it's got a different aroma. It's not that synthetic fake air or blue violets or whatever else they're putting
in the... You put the little sheet in there.
But this is just... good old fresh air going through the sheets.
I'll put two or three of those sheets. If you want my secret, I'll put like three of those sheets in the dryer.
The dryer sheets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it smells like heaven.
But it's a fake smell.
It's not a fake smell.
But how would you know? You've never even slept on a set of sheets.
It smells like heaven coming out of those sheets.
That have been air dried. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's because I live in the city and, you know, I walk around a lot, so I don't see many places that people are hanging their clothes anymore. But I'm curious as to whether or not people hang their clothes out to dry.
Are you still squeezing your oranges at home, too?
No, but have you ever squeezed oranges
squeezed
for orange? It's delicious.
It's,
you can't beat it.
By the lemonade.
It's
or
not
the orange,
processed.
Whatever you call orange juice. It's not processed. Yeah. Minute Maid in the can is not processed.
But it's nice. There's
pure
something about fresh orange juice.
Who are we talking to?
Or there's something about
who's
sleeping
calling?
On
somebody
sheets.
Somebody is calling in.
Yeah, Dennis.
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 Hello, Dennis. Welcome to KMOX.
Thank you.
Hey. Start talking, Dennis,
hello?
Because we don't have much time.
Yeah, hey, my wife hangs our sheets out starting in the spring when it's warm enough and hangs them all year, all summer long until it's too cool. Every Sunday morning, our sheets are on the line.
The sheets are on the line
and,
on Sunday morning.
And Dennis,
morning.
Do you love it? Do you love the smell over the fake smell you get from your dryer?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just they're fresher, they're cleaner. They smell cleaner, let's put it that way.
Do you live out in rural Missouri, or you would live in a subdivision where people can see your clothes all hanging out?
Well, I'm in a city, but I'm rural Illinois, let's put it that way.
Okay.
So you got your sheets out there. What do you do when the birds fly into it or poop on them? I mean, you know.
You
gotta
wash
them. You wash them again. You put them out.
Seems
yeah, but you're missing out. See, you're being critical of something you haven't experienced.
I've experienced it. Thank you very much. Dennis, happy new year, and thanks for calling.
Imagine the same air that the birds, the birds are flying through.
Mm-hmm.
And all those great smells of summer.
Insects.
That get blown around come. They get blown into your sheet, and then you go to
flies.
Sleep.
You know how vile flies
here.
Are? I mean, you know what flies spend their day walking around in? Yes. And you got flies crawling all over your sheets out there. No! You put them in the dryer, Mike. You put a couple of these sheets in there. These
dryer sheets?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, I mean, you know, who needs fresh air when you got dryer sheets? And the wind is blowing, and the air is coming through, and there's no bugs crawling around on your sheets. You got bugs out there.
How come we have to disagree on everything?
We don't disagree on
everything.
Well, I mean,
you don't even understand
right
the goodness about of having wind
something.
Blow through your sheets as opposed to some synthetic Procter & Gamble made smell.
I like the smell,
yeah.
If you want to know. I prefer that to what the outside smells like.
Hey, we got one more hour of this
smog
left.
Running around
he's John
there.
Hancock. I'm Michael Kelly. You know who
pollution.
You are. We're in for Dave Glover. We'll be back after the news right here.
Pollution everywhere.
On KMOX.
Pollution in the dryer.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.